considered a negative indication.
Yeah.
I would like to call the meeting of the Groveland Community Services District Board of Directors to order, and it is 10 o'clock. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the Republic of America, and to the Republic for which it stands,
God.
Nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Why am I so far behind everybody?
Okay, are we going to do a roll call, ma'am?
Yes. Director Edwards.
Here.
Director Sloan.
Present.
Director Armstrong.
Here.
Director Kwiatkowski.
Here.
And I see Director Mora trying to join right now.
I'm here. I'm trying to decide if I'm trying to unmute or I'm trying to speak there.
Wonderful. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
I'd like to get an approval for the order of the agenda.
I move to approve the second.
Move and a second for the order of the agenda, Rachel.
Yes, we need to take some public comment.
Any public comment on
that?
On the agenda?
The order of the agenda.
The order of the agenda, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm not seeing any. So it was moved by Director Armstrong, seconded by Director Sloan to approve the order of the agenda. Edwards.
Aye.
Director Sloan.
Aye.
Director Armstrong.
Aye.
Director Kwiatkowski.
Aye.
Director Mora.
Aye.
And the motion carries.
And acknowledge that message.
She can figure out how to do it. She's better than I am. There we go. There's Nancy.
All right.
Yeah, there's all right. Two of them.
We're going to move into the public comment. Members of the public are appreciated for taking the time to attend this meeting and provide comments on matters of district business. Public comments are subject to a 3-minute time limit, 10 minutes on an individual topic. Although no action can be taken on items not listed on the agenda, please know we are listening carefully to your comments.
Well, I have a comment as a member of the public, which everybody knows, most people know already, but yesterday we had the dog park folks at a picnic at the Lake Lodge, and right in the middle of the water break on High Mountain Drive. I guess it was on High Mountain Drive. And I just wanted to say, you rarely get a chance to actually see the guys out there working. I mean, they're always working, but to observe them in action, because they're usually someplace else. And man, they were just awesome. And they got it done by 3. Actually got the water back on. I'll tell you, that was really popular with some of the older members of the group, because the bathrooms are working again. So thank you. That was please pass on to the staff, my thanks.
Yes.
Congratulations for a really good job. You got some fans out of that, I think, actually.
Wonderful.
Just how many times do the fellows and the staff have to do that at 2 o'clock in the morning?
I think this one did start at 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Or Christmas Day or
Fourth of July. By the time we got there, it was just nothing.
Yeah, that they're
just like these guys in blue, we're always here to serve.
We do have another public comment online.
Okay. Yes. Online, you have a comment?
Mike, that's
is that Mike?
Yeah.
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Very well.
Okay, Bob Swan stole my thunder. I was calling in to specifically speak to that. I was one of the affected parties, one of the old guys that really appreciated getting my water back. But I wanted to say, having grown up in Tucson, Arizona, and spent most of my life there until I moved to Silicon Valley, having to dig holes in the ground when it's 95 or more is not the most pleasant thing to do, and not something you would do at any flat rate. It might be double or triple the rate to get me to do it. And I was very impressed. They were right out there. They were working. It seemed like all of their hair were on fire. They were taking this very seriously. And I just wanted to thank all the guys. I did it personally down there. I drove by a couple of times going here, hither and yon, and I yelled out the window, thank you. But you know how that goes. They're trying to, all you can see is, I won't say the term for, you know what, when they're bending over, looking in down inside, trying to figure out what's going on. But they're very impressed. Thank you very much. They did a great job. And I really appreciate their attention to this. So that's about it.
Thank you, Mr. Thanks, Mike.
Very much appreciated.
Get that passed on through Louie and right down to the
absolutely
everybody that needs it. Are there any other public comments that we would entertain?
Yes. Hello, my name is Scott Strickler. I've come today. I've acquired quite a debt, you know, to you guys' company, and I just want to let you know COVID had a big effect on what was going on with my wife's survivor, and I have four children, so I work my butt off. You know, I'm a handyman contractor. My family owns Strickler Realty, which is primarily property management in the valley, so I do a lot of traveling. I'd seen how every month at the end of the month, you know, my money would dwindle down to less and less. I would try to pay. I know it wasn't half as much as you guys. I'd owed you guys. I was very thankful you guys didn't cut my water supply off, you know. In the last, I tried to make a payment set up, but I was so far behind, you guys wouldn't entertain it. And I didn't blame you. I wasn't mad at any point. I was just thankful for you guys, you know, continuing to keep my water on. In the last 13 days, though, I have been able to make a $1,400 payment, and I continue to do $1,300 to $1,400 a month if you guys would entertain that type of, you know, agreement. Like I said, my money coming in the past had dwindled because of COVID. I've actually picked up more work working with contractors up here on the mountains, so I don't have to commute so much. So that type of money, if you guys did want to entertain that type of a situation, would completely, you know, be able to be paid every month. I feel bad that I'd fallen behind, and now I'm starting to make up for not only the water, but my other utilities as well. I have a mortgage, and I'm a homeowner here in Pine Mountain Lake, so I'm trying to represent and make sure that I can, you know, fulfill everything that I've been able to say I'm going to. If you guys take it under recommendation, you know, I'd really appreciate it. Like I said, I'd like to pay you guys back in full and let you know that I'm here, you know, to make my payments and not fall behind, rather than just have you guys give it to the tax board and say this guy can't handle the business. So I just want to let you know that. Thank you. And, thank you for your time.
So I believe that was probably related to the item that we have on the agenda a little bit later.
Oh,
I don't think we need to have you repeat it.
Yes.
We've got a public hearing where we'll open the meeting for public comments from anyone who has any comments on that item. And so, in other words, there'll be another opportunity to, if you want to stick around for that.
I'll still stick around for it. No, I just want to let you guys know. I've never been to anything like this before, you know, here at GCSD. So I just wanted to make sure that I didn't miss the opportunity to address you guys.
Thanks for your comment.
Yeah, thank you awesome. For your comments, sir.
You. And speaking of comments, I just want to make sure that those that are in the public and those that are on the Zoom platform know that they can submit public comments by sending an email to board@gcsd.org. And if you write public comment in the subject line, we'll know immediately what it is, and we will enter that in as a comment on an agenda item. You can also use the raise your hand function on the Zoom platform, and we will acknowledge that when the board president calls for public comments on each item on the agenda. Or if you're here in the audience, you just put your hand up, but when the time comes when he calls for comments, and you can make your comments at that time. Or as a last alternative, if you are on the Zoom platform, you can also use the chat function and chat your comments. So 100 different ways to make your comments on the agenda items. Yeah. And President Edwards will let you know at each agenda item.
Any other comments, public comments?
I'm not saying any.
Okay. I will move on to information items. This is where I need my glasses. Information item, brief reports provided by district staff and or board members as information on matters of general interest. No action will be taken by the board during reports. However, items discussed may be recommended for discussion and action on future agenda. Public comments will be taken after each report is provided. These are our staff reports. The first report is from our fire department.
And I want to introduce Assistant Chief Mark DiTillo. In my career in public service, there has only been one time when a candidate for a position at another entity or another agency has called me in advance of receiving that assignment and talked to me about what's going on in our district and how it relates to the county and everything else. And that was the call that I got from Mark. He gave me an hour of his time. He reached out to me in advance, and it was really, really important and great to understand his level of understanding of what's going on in the county, as being a county resident and being around. So really appreciate having you at the meeting. And
thank you. I appreciate your time and everybody else's time being here before. So from the fire department, operationally speaking, we had a little vegetation fire on Boneyard Road in Groveland on the 23rd. It turned out to be at 0.02 acres. Response, including the Groveland GCSD engine 781, two engines from the 466 and 4475, baseline crew one, air tech 440, and they had a helicopter come in to assist with the exchange. Our apparatus and our equipment, everything is in service and available. I think last month you guys talked a little bit about the status of the equipment and the age of the equipment, if I remember correctly. Training that we've been accomplishing, still working on the EMT stuff, keeping those things up, company performance standards and staying on that every month like we should be. Additional training that we did, airbags, ropes, ladders, and cribbing. We had engineer Marino and Donna Bedian. Did I say it right?
Donna Bedian.
Went to vehicle extrication. And Donna Bedian also finished his first year jack exams, which is a big accomplishment, having those done and completed in a three-year process of an apprenticeship. And let's see, we had engineer Cohen and Herrera attended and assisted the CERT training that was done on the 25th of June. Other news for the department, we had our SCBO fill station. We had DOT storage bottles that were there. Cal OSHA informed us that those are not something that we can have in a fixed facility. So we went ahead and swapped those out to meet Cal OSHA regulations. The cost of that for replacing the bottles was $6,139. We're waiting for Cal OSHA to come out and upgrade our permits for everything status quo. Other news in fire related stuff. One state fire is going on right now close to us, the Electra fire. That fire is 4,478 acres. It's at 93% containment, and it's transitioning back to the unit. So the unit personnel of Amador El Dorado is gonna take over the unit. The other fire that I'm sure you guys are all aware of, which is putting out a lot of smoke here, is the one in Yosemite National Park. It's the Washburn fire. As of this morning, the information I got was 3,221 acres at 22% contained. I was on a briefing this morning about the weather as it relates to this fire. There's still a high pressure that's sitting over the Four Corners. So that's gonna affect us with hotter, drier temperatures. We're going to have light winds throughout the rest of this week. They are talking about some thunderstorms coming in, but they're going to be light thunderstorms and they're going to stay east of the fire, so they won't affect the Washburn fire at all. And then starting on Sunday, we're going to transition back into normal temperatures. It's going to start cooling down. So just a little information about the Washburn fire and what's happening. That's the end of the report that I have, unless there's anything else that I missed.
Do we have any? Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very much. Any public comment regarding the fire report?
Is Cal Fire on the Washburn fire?
We have some ground resources and some aviation assets, so yes.
Yeah. Are they using air on
yes.
it?
Yes. Yeah.
seems like they don't put out fires very well.
It's in a pretty unusual situation. There's a lot of steep terrain there. There's nothing there really to kind of pinch it off with barriers. There are a few fires that happened at earlier in history. If they get up to that area, it's really going to help with containment because the fuels are already burning out there. But they're dealing with a lot of dead standing trees and dead and down fuels. You know, and with steep terrain, it's just really difficult.
It's really crazy. Maybe someday we'll start taking care of the forest again.
Yeah, and Cal Fire is really working on that.
How they let forest go so bad.
I will say
he's in the forest every day, so I know.
Yeah. That. I will say Yosemite National Park has probably one of the best forests that we have in the state of California because they do burns on a regular basis.
Right. And that's good, but you need to do it everywhere. They can't just do it in Yosemite.
Yes.
And that's where they've done it. I've lived here long enough to know that that's the only place. I mean, as much debris that's out there, when there's a burn day, you should see fire all over that forest. And I'm out there on my horse or hiking or whatever, and I don't see it. Yeah. It's pretty sad. It's not you guys. It's our Fed.
Our Fed counterparts in Region 5, which is California, they're on board with trying to start doing that. In the last, I'd say, 5 years, they're really pushing hard.
Yeah.
I know Cal Fire has implemented a lot of funding. The state of California is getting funding to Cal Fire specifically for fuels management. And so there's a large push with Cal Fire to do it.
Yeah, a horrible neighbor, to tell you the truth. I mean, the Rim Fire, the same thing. They didn't want to attack it, didn't do jack to it until Cal Fire got involved. The firefight started, and they let it get too big. And, you know, it's horrible. Every fire I was ever on with them, they screwed them up.
Excuse me. We keep the criticism of the fire department down, please. The forest department, whoever's in charge, keep it down. And continue with the meeting, please.
Okay, is that it, John?
Yep.
Okay.
It's part of the subject.
Thank you, Janice.
Really quickly on the last page of the report, it's always really helpful to have this information and understand where our researchers are going and what they're doing. And, you know, from a management perspective, I really appreciate this information to be able to, understand the trends and all of that for future investments and all of our agreements and everything else. It's interesting to see the percentage of ALS that's really pretty significant, 22 ALS and 17 not. Any common thread on the medicals this last month? It seems like, you know, we hover around 50. Any locals, visitors, frequent flyers, all of the above?
I think that the number of tourists in town has gone up considerably. I feel like we're back to pre-COVID as far as that's concerned. But I would say in this past month, it was mainly just the locals. And when we say those ALS calls, we're talking a paramedic that's doing an ALS protocol, like starting an IV, we're putting it down as ALS. So
right.
The VLS calls are few and far between if you have the paramedic there to do those extra items, like, you know.
Well, let's not do anything.
Right, exactly.
They don't stand by and watch well.
No, they don't like to drive.
That's appreciate all you do.
Any other comments regarding our fire department? Any of the calls, reports? Okay. We having a CERT report,
right?
Yep.
Absolutely. Okay, so I gave you an updated version. We'll get an updated version to Janice and Nancy. We've had good participation in the training we've had here. Wanted to let everybody know that our firefighter rehab vehicle is operational. The GCSD staff has kept it running and is now outfitted with all the equipment from a grant from Adventist Health. Our training schedule is shown here. The next training we'll be doing is over in Twine Park. The CHP is showing us how to do traffic control. So we'll have a good idea about that. And then the graduation, Unit 9 of the CERT training, is at the end of August, the last Saturday in Twine Park. Just to give you an idea of what we did last time, they took the gymnasium at the high school and blacked it out. And I mean blacked it out. You could not see any light inside of there. They disconnected the exit signs. They put an unknown number of victims in there with unknown injuries and told the group of us, and Bruce and I were in that training, they said, there's the door, fix it. And so there was a group of about 12 of us that had to go in. We had to organize in teams. We had to organize what we were going to do with the victims when we got them out, and then go in and go in them in there safely and figure out what it was. It was pretty interesting in terms of it taking about 3 hours. And we managed to find all the victims and brought them out. There were high school students that they had volunteered, and they used full makeup and everything. It was pretty impressive. So that's in August. One of the things I'd like to propose, and y'all can think about this, is that we have a graduation day. Perhaps we could hold it at the fire station. I'd love to have you guys come over, and we have ProPacks that Cal Fire have donated to us to be able to hand out. So it's a backpack with all the gear that you need as kind of a graduation present. So maybe we could have an event of that nature over there. And let's see. So the next thing is we received a $15,000 grant from Tuolumne County. And with Rachel's help, I want to commend Rachel. She is one of the best shoppers you guys have. I gave her the list, and she said, can I go now? I said, yes. So she attacked the list, and we got everything in the list that we asked for. So we had a group of us went over to the fire station. The stuff was all delivered to the downstairs to the fire station. We went over, checked it all in, checked it all out. The only thing that was missing was the boxes to put it in when we took them.
They're right there.
they came the afternoon that we spent the morning unboxing. So we'll have another party over there and go through that. The other thing is that besides all the supplies, and it's quite an extensive list of supplies, we have now a 6x12x6 trailer. I don't know how Rachel did that, but we ordered it, and it was here almost before she ordered it. But anyway, that's going to be really nice. We'll have it outfitted with the shelves, so we'll be able to take exactly the equipment we need and deploy whenever we need to. We are, as it was approved at the last meeting, participants in the Tuolumne Calaveras Healthcare and Safety Coalition. Next meeting is next week. We participated in the Tuolumne County Wildfire Preparedness Day in beginning of June. That was pretty interesting. We have partnered with the Pine Mountain Lake Safety Committee. It happens that two of us are on that. And we have had several go bag sessions, and we're go bag and emergency kit sessions. There's about 40 some people in Groveland that has attended those two sessions, including Nancy and Janice. And so they can speak to that if they want to. We participated last Saturday in the park in a radio communication. One of the things that we realize is that communications are very difficult up here under emergency conditions. When the power is shut out, a lot of people in Pine Mountain Lake lose the ability to communicate anywhere. And it doesn't take an event here for that to happen. In the Washington fire in Sonora, we lost the backhaul, which was the link between Sonora and the rest of the world. And so it took out the use, I think it was two wireless companies, and it took out internet for a couple of providers up here. So backhaul and the power outage is a problem. during the Mott fire was also a problem. So one of the things that Tuolumne County OES has done is established a relationship with ham radio operators in the area. And the ham radio operators have organized into T-CARES. And we met with them last Saturday. One of the gentlemen at the fire department came over and joined us, had some valuable input as well. The idea is to build communications that doesn't rely on any of the carriers or the internet. And so we've got a little quick show and tell here for you. The idea is to establish a communication network among people that live here. And this is a sample. Oh, I need these back. This is a sample of the local phone. So people can buy these and operate them for, and buy them for $30. They operate on a local net here. And it would be a local communication net just amongst people in the Groveland, Big Oak Flat area. And they're simple to use. Once we got that part going, then that needs to somehow communicate out to the rest of the world. And so that brings up the new gizmos. This is a different radio. And this radio is one that has, it's more powerful. It does require a license. And it will communicate with a repeater, which will get us to Sonora and places outside. The OES will establish the communication link with that when they operate the emergency center over at Scraggan Court. So Bruce is our resident, know everything about communication expert. He's gonna explain a little bit about it.
So basically, you get the big five radios, which are similar to the, those, not so, but similar to those. Okay. You buy them, you turn them on, you can set the channel. These, you can set the channel, and then you can set the tone. There's 22 channels and probably about 10 tones. So you can actually set up a communication between just you two. If you're on channel one, tone one, and then everybody else is on channel one, tone two, they don't hear you. And you can't hear them, okay? That's the nice thing about those radios. They are local. You can't reach anywhere. You don't need a license for them. These, you need a license for, technically. A DMRS license.
Oh, that's the wrong one.
No, that one works also. That one you can use for DMRS. And that is $35 for 10 years for the whole family. Kids, grandkids, everybody. Okay. And it's just because it can reach out farther. And it does have the ability to use repeaters.
So, that one's FRS and GMRS?
Yes.
Okay. That's why it's bigger than an FRS.
That's why it's a little bit bigger. Right. And also, this particular one is actually designed for kayakers because it has it's waterproof and it has a light that when you drop it in water, automatically comes on.
As you can find it again.
Yes. So it's, and it starts flashing and you can find it. The next set of radios is this little bitty guy compared to those. It has roughly three times the power that little radio does. Okay, it can reach a lot farther. The other thing is the GMRS and FMLS radios. You cannot take the antenna off. Okay. The reason that's important is if you take the antenna off and put a 3-foot antenna on, guess what? You reach farther than what this little green antenna does. Okay. Then you can get up into the bigger radios, which is, this is a sheriff's department radio. I've been volunteer work for the sheriff's department, so I have one of their rates. Okay. It does pretty well, especially if I'm near a vehicle. is it leaks into the vehicle and automatically gets a 50-watt transmitter added on. And we have what they have, the fire department, those big radios, okay? They're better than this one, actually. They can reach farther, okay? Because this one's designed to work with the vehicle. G-Cares is the group in Tuolumne County of ham operators who are trying to help set up this radio network. They actually have one repeater privately owned in the Groveland area already. And they are letting people use it right now, owner is. Okay. Part of the problem is we have one repeater and he's up on the ridge towards the east of us. And if that was to go down, we would not have a connection anymore. So that's one of the things in future we're gonna be looking at. And I put down on that little fact sheet for you guys. A repeater is anywhere from 1,200 to 8,000, depending on the quality you get, and more importantly, how you power. Okay, so you got to have a power supply for electronics. So that's where we're at. Ultimately, the OES is going to get all of this together and work it out. El Dorado County already has it pretty well set. I was looking at their website yesterday and everything. Eventually, we may need help getting a repeater. Okay. From talking to the ham operators in this area, the person already has the repeater. He thinks we can do it for about $3,000. The key is, where do we put it? Well, ECSD has some nice water tanks up on hills.
We own the high ground.
You own the high ground, right?
Yeah.
So we may come back to you guys and say, hey, can we put a repeater in so and so location? Again, the one they have covers very well. You can use that repeater to reach Sonora with ease on the little radius. Once you hit them, you're getting the main power from that. But again, if it goes down, you're back to nothing. So that's where we are at. Any questions?
When the power goes out, is it the phone lines that are going down?
It depends. Well, I've been here about 11 years and I've seen about every permutation that is. Sometimes the power lines go out. I mean, the phone lines go out, sometimes not. Bruce knows the specs supposed to happen with AT&T.
I worked for AT&T for 36 years before I retired. I was a area manager, a design engineer, had field technicians that happened to be at one time. Everything east of the lake is on what we call a paragate system. So they take a T1 line over to a box, then break it into phone lines. Well, you got power supply and equipment. It has a battery backup per PUC ruling. That's supposed to last 8 to 36 hours. You'd be lucky to last us 4.
Right. Well, we had the same problem as our own. We got it
right.
Fixed.
You got paragain up there too.
Yeah. Yeah, we got it fixed.
Right.
They replaced the battery because the week after we wrote the letter, CCSD wrote the letter to AT&T, we had the mock fire. The power went down 5 days. We had, no, we did not have power on them, but the next fire we did have, we had phone. Because, you know, during evacuation, you got livestock, you got to move them, and you don't get notified until CHP drives up your driveway.
Right.
That's not good.
Well, and see,
and we need to get this taken care of all over the district, not right. Just up there. It needs to be everywhere. So we need to write another letter to AT&T, it sounds like, and tell them to get it together and fix this.
Well, here's the other aspect of that. Also, all those boxes, you see these boom trucks riding around with AT&T?
Yep.
They can power those boxes from the
oh, yeah, cars. I know that.
So they can actually come out and recharge the batteries.
Right.
That's one of the things I used to have to have my people go through during fires and power shutoffs.
Yeah.
Go
they're just
out there and their plug
job.
In and charge it up.
Yeah.
Right. The problem, John, is that that's only one of the permutations. In the Washington fire, we lost phone communications here. Because
right. Well,
the line went down over
not quite. You lost. Okay. What happened in Washington fire was you lost the ability to connect outside of Provo.
Right.
Okay. if you are on a 962 phone number, you can pick the phone up and call another 962 number, and it would work. Because the central office is behind the iron door.
Right.
So that connection still functioned fine. However, you couldn't call Sonora.
Right.
There's a backhaul with that.
Well, I mean, I think it's a good idea to do means too, you know, but I think you ought to also fix AT&T.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. That's, you know, so just more of the same that they were doing up in Merrill.
So yeah. What our plan here is just formulating it now. By the way, they've done this in Strawberry, and they're doing this now in 20 Hard. So it would be bringing the same concept for Qualmie County here. And that is we form a group locally here of people that choose to get one of these radios to get on this local network. Basically, only operates right here. You're not going to be able to get outside of Groveland with those radios, but we'll have a local group here that when something goes wrong and they need communications, they pick up the radio and listen to the traffic on the radio. And then we will have several people that will be the conduit between that net and OES over in Sonora. And